On a Sunday morning in December, nearly 100 people are in a West End church dedicating their prayers to Claudine Mukankindi. It's been a year since she died of a heart attack. At the time of her death, she was 36 years old. In a pew near the front is Adeline Kiona, dancing and chanting in worship. Tears in her eyes, as they always are, whenever she speaks of her deceased friend.
She was like a part of, you know, my family. When she passed away, it was like I lost a sister.
When Claudine Mukankindi arrived in Pittsburgh in 2001, it was after surviving the Rwandan genocide, enduring countless acts of violence and loss of family. She had fled to the Congo and then to Kenya, then Cameroon, before being resettled in Pittsburgh by Catholic Charities. With the exception of the young daughter she brought with her, she didn't have family. But she quickly became close to Adeline Kiona. With Kiona, with whom she shared Congolese roots, she also shared much of what she experienced before arriving in the U.S.
Claudine saw a lot of stuff. I don't know if I can say like some of them. They were raping women. And Claudine saw all of that. And they did that to her. And they killed even her uncle in her eyes. She saw a lot.
In her time in the U.S., she was diagnosed and treated for a slew of mental illnesses, among them PTSD. Trauma is pervasive in the Congo and other conflicted and post-conflict countries. Lynn Laurie from Harvard Medical School has studied mental health issues there. A 2010 study she conducted in the Congo found that half of all adults exhibited symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. In contrast, in the U.S., that number is between 5 to 10% of the population. Despite those high numbers, Lowry says there are little to no mental health services in the Congo.
Most of the countries that I go to, which are countries in conflict or post-conflict, there may be one psychiatrist or two psychiatrists available, which was the case for Democratic Republic of Congo.
Lowry says different cultural norms in the Congo may not allow people to realize that what they are experiencing is a form of mental illness. When people emigrate, those attitudes are exported.
Back home, people don't know any other diagnosis of mental health than just being crazy in general.
That's John Alumba, a Congolese man who was resettled in Pittsburgh around the same time as Claudine Mukankindi. He, too, had experienced traumatic events. One has left an enduring physical scar, a gunshot wound followed by days of hiding in fear without medical attention resulted in him losing his right arm. For the first 8 months refugees are in the U.S., they receive federally subsidized medical assistance that covers their medical needs. When Alumba arrived, he was fitted for a prosthetic arm, but he says he was never offered mental health care, even though in retrospect, he might have benefited from it.
It was very difficult, you know, because you don't go to sleep without, especially at the beginning, you keep dreaming about all those things. You feel like somebody's going to come to get you. No, you have all those bad dreams, you know, keep dreaming the same thing over and over.
Even though he struggled in the Congo and in the United States, if mental health services had been offered to him, Alumba doesn't know if he would have partaken.
No, you don't want to just, you know, be keep talking about everything, then you feel, oh, what they're going to think about me when I say all of those things. So you try, I'll try to withhold some information, say, well, maybe I'll just, you know, overcome this and someday I'll feel better.
Not everyone who experiences trauma develops post-traumatic stress disorder. It's not known why some people develop PTSD and others don't. Alumba ended up working as a caseworker for several years with Catholic Charities, the same group that resettled him. He says he often thinks about his friend Claudine Mukankindi. If her life would have been different if she had received mental health services immediately upon her arrival to the U.S.
I think there was a big missed opportunity when she came to try to stabilize her. I think she should have gotten mental health care and followed through the entire treatment program.
In Claudine Mukankindi's first few years in the U.S., she learned English and made friends within the Congolese community. There were also hospital visits and loss of mental stability. Along the way, she lost custody of her daughter, which friends say devastated her. In 2006, she ended up at Bethlehem Haven, a homeless shelter.
She was here when
Yeah, she was here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She spent the last few years of her life at Bethlehem Haven's long-term supported homeless shelter for women with severe mental illness. In the years Claudine Mukankindi was at Bethlehem Haven, her daughter was adopted by her friend Adeline Kiona. Her mental health was stabilized. She got a job. And in 2010, she became a U.S. citizen. But last December, at the age of 36, she died unexpectedly. Lois Mafuka-Martin is the shelter's executive director.
Trauma doesn't just affect the mind. It affects the body. In our world of homelessness, you know, we've been known to say that for every year a person is homeless, it ages them up to 10 years.
Although the World Health Organization and the State Department recognize that many refugees are coming with trauma upon arrival, and the CDC has guidelines for mental health screenings, those that work in the resettlement agencies and those who have gone through the screen say the screen is weak. And the screenings done before refugees come to the U.S. are for communicable diseases like tuberculosis. Martin says many of the problems Mukankindi faced are pervasive within the refugee community. With a growing refugee population in Pittsburgh, she says there's been talk within the mental health community that while Pittsburgh may have housing and employment for them, there may not be supportive services in place.
Mental health is grossly underfunded as it is. So what I'm hearing in a general conversation is, how do we absorb additional populations, be they indigenous or not? How do we absorb them into systems?
One way, maybe grassroots. Rebecca Check spent her childhood in the Congo and frequently returns. She's on the Congolese Resettlement Committee Allegheny County has set up to address some of the issues they may face. She says many of the refugees they're expecting are single mothers, women who may have some of the same vulnerabilities as Claudine Mukankindi. Check is working with others in the established Congolese community to set up homegrown support systems and connect new refugees to mental health services.
You're talking about people who've been victimized. So it's trust comes really slowly, and it's very difficult to talk about some of the things that have happened to them. And there's not a culture in Congo of that kind of support outside of family and friend networks.
Similar efforts are also underway in the Bhutanese and Somalian refugee communities in Pittsburgh. I'm Erica Barris, 90.5 WESA News.